You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Recovery from Petya, Netya, Not Petya proceeds, and it's not ransomware. Ukraine says Russia's responsible. U.S. warnings of cyber attacks on nuclear power plants may have been premature. NATO members consider when to invoke Article 5 in cyberspace. Islamist inspiration and other political discontents continue to prompt content screening in Europe. Europe is also in a punitive mood with respect to regulation. Kaspersky says it will show the U.S. its source code if that's the cost of doing business. And hey, lords and commons, that's not really Windows support asking for your password. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, July 3rd, 2017. Last week's Petya, Netya, Not Petya campaign is now clearly seen as destructive and disruptive, and not a ransomware attack at all. By the way, we're just going to refer to it as Petya in today's podcast, just for the sake of time. Affected organizations continue their recovery. The experience of Maersk is instructive. Last Thursday, the shipping company told customers its operations had resumed at a now close to normal rate, although some clients reported continuing difficulties. FedEx's TNT Express subsidiary was also heavily affected, with disruptions reported into the weekend. There's been no shortage of advice on how enterprises might respond to Petya. They range from the simple, for heaven's sake, patch already, to you should have used blockchain, and all the way to retaliation by drone strike. Ukrainian authorities have directly and unambiguously blamed Russia for last week's Petya attacks. They've also called in international partners, including Interpol and the FBI, to help with the investigation. The threat actor held to be responsible is the group known as Telebots or Sandworm, a Russian actor also associated with attacks on Ukraine's power grid in December 2016. Russian authorities, for their part, deny having anything to do with it, but their story finds few takers. It's true that some Russian enterprises, notably the oil company Rosneft, were also infected, and it's also true that Russian presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov called late last week for the international cooperation against cybercrime of this type. Whether one sees infestations at Rosneft and Mr. Peskov's desire for cooperation as exculpatory evidence or as provocation and misdirection will depend on how historically informed one's interpretations of official Russian motives are. Three observations are perhaps in order. First, as much as Petya was called ransomware, the number of informed observers who think it was a campaign of ordinary criminal extortion is vanishingly small. Thus, an expressed desire to bring the criminals to justice is either naive or disingenuous. Second, Rosneft itself obliquely hinted that there's maybe, just maybe, a domestic source of the attack it suffered. The oil company said it hoped the attack had nothing to do with ongoing legal battles with its oligarch-owned rival Sistema. And third, the incident seems too closely aligned with Russian objectives in the hybrid war against Ukraine to be a mere coincidentally criminal operation. U.S. government warnings last Friday of phishing campaigns successfully targeting nuclear power installations may have been premature. In any case, the Nuclear Energy Institute said Saturday that no U.S. nuclear plants had been penetrated. We mentioned drone strikes as a possible retaliation for Petya a moment ago. That's surely headline writer's exaggeration. No one has seriously suggested droning some GRU coder for whatever it is that Sandworm may or may not be up to. But as cyber attacks increasingly have physical effects, kinetic retaliation is more often considered. British officials are the latest to entertain such speculation, and NATO members are devoting some hard thought to the circumstances under which the alliance's Article 5, collective defense, might be invoked in the case of cyber attack. Islamic groups continue to post inspirational material online. An affiliate of Al-Qaeda in Mali has posted disturbing video of long-term hostages it's kidnapped, and a group of foreign fighters in Syria has appeared in a pro-ISIS exposé of all that's wrong with the Dar al-Harb: sensuality, lack of compassion, indifference to the plight of the elderly, and so on. These points are, to be sure, in tension with or outright contradiction to the murderous practices ISIS and similar groups have sought with unfortunate success to inspire. But for a window into the story they're telling and the values they're offering, this video offers some useful and sobering insight. The European Union and some of its member states signal a determination to police data security, competitive practices, and extremist speech. Germany has enacted a law that would impose harsh penalties on services that permit hate speech. A look to existing measures to identify such speech suggests the problem remains unsolved. Facebook's guidelines for human curation of content carried over the social media provider shows the difficulty of applying such measures in ways that either can't be easily circumvented, that yield counterintuitive results, or that simply amount to censorship. Those optimists inclined to see carrots may wish to consider that the sort of stick GDPR might wield against non-compliant companies was foreshadowed last week in a different case entirely. Last week, the European Union hit Google with a record fine for anti-competitive behavior, a cool $2.7 billion for goosing search results in its own favor. Google will appeal, but Mountain View isn't optimistic. Google has said it expects to pay in full. It may get worse. The EU's Commissioner for Competition followed up the regulatory finding by encouraging companies whose business may have been damaged by anti-competitive practices to use her report as the basis for civil suits against Google. Kaspersky Lab will show its source code to the U.S. government, a development that hasn't been universally welcomed in the security industry. Kaspersky was facing a possible congressional ban on doing business with the U.S. defense sector. Russia mulls retaliation if Kaspersky is barred from such work in the U.S. Finally, a quick update on those assaults on the British Parliament's email system. Over a week ago, Whitehall was subjected to a brute force campaign designed to expose parliamentary passwords. Late last week, MPs were warned again. They'd been receiving phone calls from Windows, contacting them on behalf of the Parliamentary Digital Service. As you might expect, they were calling to help with problems, and would the MPs kindly tell them their passwords, the better to enable them to address the problem, and so on. The actual Parliamentary Digital Service was quick to say that we will never ask you for your password. Indeed, no one with your best interests at heart is likely to ask you for your password. And no, that isn't Windows calling. The boiler room background noise alone is a dead giveaway.
now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Marcus Roschecker. He's the Cybersecurity Program Manager at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Marcus, great to have you back. We saw a story come by via Reuters, and the headline was, "Companies Use Kidnap Insurance to Guard Against Ransomware Attacks." That's news to me. What's going on here?
Yeah, this is somewhat of an interesting new approach here that some companies are taking. As you may know, companies that do business in dangerous parts of the world may often have these kidnap and ransom insurances so that in the event that one of their employees gets kidnapped and held for ransom, the insurance would kick in and actually pay the ransom to release their employee. Now, some companies are taking that kind of insurance and trying to apply it to cyber incidents, specifically ransomware incidents. So a company will become a victim of a ransomware attack where their data is held ransom, so to speak, and the company has to pay to get that data back. That can be very costly. So a lot of companies who have this kidnap and ransom insurance are trying to use that insurance policy to cover their cost for responding to the ransomware cyber attack.
It was interesting in this story, they quoted a gentleman named Bob Parisi, who works for Marsh and McLennan Companies, an insurance broker. He said, if your CFO gets kidnapped, the company is going to continue to function. If you get a piece of malware in the system, you might have two factories that stop working. The actual damage is probably greater. Now, that may be true unless you're the CFO.
Well, yes, you certainly wouldn't want to be the CFO in that situation.
Right.
But it is certainly the case that for a lot of companies, the data that they have and that they use to conduct business is absolutely critical. Without that data, they can't do business. It's vital that if they are victim to a ransomware attack, that they get access to that data again as quickly as possible. So, you know, it's interesting that companies are trying to use this kidnap and ransom insurance and are trying to apply to ransomware incidents when that clearly was never the intent of this kind of insurance policy. It was always intended to apply to individuals who might get kidnapped, but not to cyber incidents. So I think it's kind of an ingenious or a novel way of trying to get coverage. But I think what companies really should be doing and what they really should consider is getting actual cybersecurity insurance, right? A cyber insurance policy that will actually apply in cases of ransomware as well. Because I think in the end, the company will be much better off having that kind of an insurance policy that will specifically apply to cybersecurity incidents and incidents of ransomware, where they know they'll be covered and can recoup on some of those costs that are associated with the incident.
Yeah, I thought an interesting take home. The article ends talking about AIG, the insurance company, saying that they've reduced business interruption coverage for kidnapping and ransom policies to $1 million for cyber extortion events. And the quote is, "Insurers didn't anticipate there would be this much ransomware activity."
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. Ransomware is a growing threat. It's only going to continue to grow, and hopefully companies are realizing that and doing everything that they should be doing to protect themselves and their data.
All right, Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.